ears.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
Ooh, something happened. It's never like just a general like, yo, it's like, yeah.
Man, your video ready. This, I still might pull some clips out of this. I don't care what I'm
with
play.
I'm absolutely with it, man.
Word.
I figured why the fuck not. I actually shaved my head for once.
Yeah, okay. I look like a monster. I don't give a shit.
I rocks with her music, so there's that. But my favorite, the reason Maria got this was because it says Swifty on it. And like, let's get Swifty in here.
Swifty.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stub and the Lord of Laughter. The Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan of the Wizards of Podcasting, who's retired at least 8 times, which we'll get into. And I'm sitting here with the pinnacle of political perfection, the superior, Super Bowl Gabby.
What up, everybody? And I just want to say, I don't care which version of Michael Jordan we're talking, except for GM Michael Jordan. They were all great.
Yeah. So, what's up with your boy, man?
Who?
Papa John.
Oh, yo, you know, he's been in the mirror. He's been, you know, he's been strapping, like, car batteries to his nipples every time he says the N-word. Gives himself a little shot. Gives himself a little shot. A little shocky shock. You know?
All right.
He's trying, bro.
So for the people who don't know, Papa John's founder says he's been working hard to get the N-word out of his vocabulary for the last 20 months. The former CEO of Papa John's is assuring the public he's been working on not using racist language, an effort that has apparently been an ongoing for nearly 2 years. John, fuck that guy.
Damn it, Wade!
So after admitting he used the N-word during a conference call, told One American News that the pizza chain's board has painted him as a racist when they know he's not racist. From there, Papa John described his quote-unquote goals, evidently including no longer saying racial slurs. So here's my thing, all right? I've been on this podcast, and I've mentioned how when you're in the hood, dropping the F-bomb for the LGBTQ community is wrong. And after having a conversation with someone, like, and it was like, you know what I mean? You kind of just get used to it, and you never really think about it until someone really breaks it down to you. And I was like, you know what? I don't use that word anymore. It's really just that simple. You know what I mean? Like, Diddy doesn't use the word, White doesn't use the word. Most of the people that I know who are progressive people who have evolved don't use that word anymore. I have to check people at work every so often when I go, well, why can't, it was like, you know, it's not that big a deal. I said, well, how would you feel about a white dude saying nigger and then going, well, there's no niggers around?
I mean, yes, I think that not saying that word or those words are great, but not saying the F word doesn't make you, doesn't stop you from being homophobic, right? Like, there's absolutely more to you that makes you, I don't know, an ally to the LGBTQ community than not saying the F word. And not saying the N word or saying that you're not saying the N word definitely doesn't mean you're not a racist.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
100%.
It doesn't even matter, right? You can call, I know a bunch of, sorry, my dog is like walking around. You could probably hit her feet. I know a bunch of like these, you know, older white dudes. They come to me and they go like, "What's up, my brother?" Right? Like, like, you know, I'm like, "Yeah, you're definitely racist."
Yo, so here's my thing about that. And you're 100% right. I agree with everything that you just said. My thing about it is, when someone tells you the word is like, let's just say, for example, that people have been like, "I've been saying nigger all my life. Like, why can't I say it now?" It's like, all right, well, now that you know you shouldn't be using it, don't use it. Like, you know what I mean? It's really not that difficult to not use. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't make a whole big thing about it. Like, we don't need a whole press freaking release about you trying not to say the N-word. Like, yo, that's like, all right. Your pizza still sucks, bro.
So this guy said,
Your pizza is a slur to my taste buds.
This comedian said, the pizza is trash, but their garlic sauce tastes like ground up angels.
I wouldn't know, man. I feel like if you live in a city with at least a couple of good pizza shops and you still go to Papa John's, I don't think I trust you.
No, I had it. I remember, like, because a friend who will remain nameless was amping it up, talking about how good it was. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. You know, why the fuck not? So we're in Dedham at the time. And I was like, oh, Papa John's. I'm like, all right, let's try it. So we get the pizza. We get it home. And you ever have one of those moments where you, like, you sit and you eat something and you just kind of, like, you're chewing really slow because you're like, this isn't bad, but it's also not good on any conceivable level?
Yeah, I'm aware of those moments in my life.
That was Papa John's.
Yeah. Like, I think I had Papa John's once in my life, and I remember thinking in my mind, like, oh, it's a pizza.
Yeah. That's what it is.
It has a crust, and it has, like, some sauce, some cheese. Yeah, I mean, it's round.
Yeah, it's like some sauce, and some is even like an exaggeration.
Yeah, like, man, I'm good, bro. All right. You could keep your Shaquille O'Neal pizza.
Oh, God, fuck that guy altogether. I can't.
Really?
Fuck, he's a bully. Fuck him.
I mean, I think he was a bully till Charles Barkley knocked him in the mouth.
All right. let me tell you, Shaquille O'Neal in his post-NBA career is the fucking worst, man. I can't. It's like, Candace Parker was on Inside the NBA. Candace Parker is a...
All right, so are we done with Papa John's? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, do we need to say any more? Like, you know, fuck you and fuck your... how'd you say it? It's a slur to my taste buds?
It's a slur to my taste buds, bro. And, you know, good luck on your journey of not saying the N-word. I know that it's hard. I know that you and your people have suffered for centuries struggling with this word. And as a black man, I want to say that... fuck you.
Yeah. Old man Wade agrees. So the quick part of it, Candace Parker, we're over now, basketball player, was on Inside the NBA, and she was discussing the Denver Nuggets, I believe, in their pick and roll, and because Jokic, their center, can shoot. And it was Kenny Smith, Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, Candace Parker, Ernie Johnson. And Candace Parker's breaking down why these plays work. And Shaq goes, whatever happened to man it up? And she's like, well, you can't do that.
That's a great Shaq impersonation, by the way.
and she's like, well, you do that, but then what ends up happening is you get, you know, they step back and shoot this three, just like just happened just now. And the look on her face was so like, why are we even having this conversation? And then he goes, well, what about this? And then she goes, well, when they do that, then they pass the ball, and, you know, then you're behind the defense. And he goes, well, what about this? And she goes, well, now we have players that can pass the ball from one end of the court to the other. And she's like, looking at him like, why is this nigga even talking to me? He has no idea what he's talking about. It's the funniest shit ever. And then it always comes down to the same thing with him. But we won a championship that year. Dog, you wouldn't have won shit if it wasn't for Kobe and Dwayne Wade. So let's make that, like, absolutely clear. Like, he talks... Like, Michael Jordan has always said that he wouldn't have won a championship without Dennis Rodman and without Scottie Pippen, right? Shaq barely acknowledges, like, Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant. Like, he'll mention Kobe Bryant if, like, someone else, like, brings it up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we talk about this podcast. I tell people, this shit don't work without Avi. You know what I mean? I've been on record saying it. Shaq is, yeah, I'm the diesel. And that's really what it comes down to. And that's the end of that.
I appreciate you too, old man. And, yeah, I don't know. People that are, like, too big all their life, I don't know. There's something wrong with people that never had to, like, worry about getting punched in the face. Yeah. Right? Like, ever? Like, you just walk around all big, no consequences. People are afraid of you. Like, I don't know. I think it does something to your brain, bro.
You know what else does weird things to your brain? Inbreeding.
Yo, is that a royal joke?
That was a well-timed royal family segue.
Yeah, that is an interesting looking group of people, I'll tell you what.
Why do we give a shit about them? Like, at all. I don't care about them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
No. I'm not letting you off that easy. You are a political science major. You are the pinnacle of political perfection. You are the Wolverine of politics.
Oh shit.
Explain yourself.
All lies, people. I mean, there's multiple reasons why we're interested. I mean, they're like royalty. Uh-huh. You know, as Americans, like we can't really comprehend what it's like to you know, have a royal family that we think about on a daily basis, and it's kind of fascinating to us on that part. And then, you know, when it comes to people in Britain or in the Commonwealth, there's millions upon millions of people that see these people as like almost beyond human, right? And it's like the same reason why we're interested in the Kardashians, but like on a whole different level. Like, if the Kardashians, you know, if what they did had like actual consequences at some point in history, and this royal family, you know, they're responsible for like everything from slaves to friggin', you know, imperialism taking over whole parts of the world, like
the near genocide of the the indigenous people of what is now America, what is now Central America, which is now South America.
Well, not just them. I mean, not just them, obviously, but they're like kind of the, you know, one of the last groups that stayed intact.
Yeah, they're not the first, but they're the Babe Ruth of slavery.
Oh shit. They knocked it out the park. Yeah, they knocked that slavery out the park, bro. I mean, and honestly, it's I think right now interest was renewed primarily due to the fact that Meghan Markle, who's a woman of color, a black woman, biracial woman.
Yo, can people stop saying she passes as white?
I mean,
I look at her and I see she's mixed, but it's like, yeah. I don't look at her and go, oh, she's white. I'm like, no, she's not.
She's, I mean, that's a deep conversation. Like, there's a lot. Yo, the black community, yo, we've been traumatized when it comes to this race thing, man. Like,
I wish somebody I knew had a podcast about stuff like this coming up. I wish I knew somebody who had a podcast coming out discussing race and stuff like that. I wish I knew somebody who did that. Super Bowl, do you know anybody who's doing that?
Well, I think so. Me and a friend of mine's, she refuses to call it a podcast, so she tells me it's a video series called BIPOC Live. And yeah, we'll be, you know, having conversations with people in the BIPOC, you know, world. That's black, indigenous, and people of color, and just trying to build community through conversations. It's a fun project. And can't wait to show it to you guys.
So did you actually watch the Meghan Markle thing?
No, I don't watch that shit.
So I was listening to Joe Budden, and Rory brought up a great point about how that conversation was all about money for Oprah. It had nothing to do with the actual things that were really going on, like the idea of the royal family being racist and, you know, the things that she has to go through, like with like her interracial marriage and saying that they were worried about what skin color the baby was going to come out and like shit like that. And it was more about money than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, it's so they don't even refer to themselves really as a family in a lot of instances. It's really, a lot of times they refer to themselves as a firm, right? Yo, it's nuts if you think about it.
So is Queen Elizabeth AZ Nas
Fox. Ah, Firm Biz.
The Firm.
Firm Biz. That's a reference, guys. Look it up.
For the record, I Googled, I was like, what does the Royal Family of England do?
And it goes, you just Googled that?
Yes.
Oh my God. Enjoy.
Everyone, do yourself a favor and Google it. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. But regardless of what they do officially, it's like literally being born into like the Senate or something. Like all the politics and just the backstabbing and, you know, the pomp and circumstance. Like you're born into that. Like even in private, there's certain things you have to do and can't do. Like, and this is your life. Like you're not leaving this to go chill with your family at the end of the day. No, like this is you. You're stuck. It's like being born into your job that you can never leave ever, right? Like you have to, if you're a female, you got to curtsy in front of the queen every time you see her. You're not allowed to eat in public, bro. Like you can't eat in public. You can't go to Papa John's and enjoy their disgusting pizza.
No, they love this. They love slavery pizza.
Yo, they probably would. They probably love that shit.
Yo, slavery pizza sounds hilarious to me.
Yeah, they probably love that shit. You know, like that crust is definitely, you know, the right shade of white, I guess, you know.
Are you telling me they make that garlic sauce from racism?
Yeah. And you got to think about it too. It's very possible that whoever told them about Archie's skin color, gave them that. I made that comment about Archie's skin color. It might not even be somebody that they're related to. It could be one of the hundreds and hundreds of people that I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, kind of cater to the firm, not necessarily the family, but just the family lineage. And they think about the legacy and the way the family looks and the way they talk. Like these are people that they were probably born into that job.
Yo, let's call it like it is. Meghan Markle made the royal family hot. No one gave a shit about them until since Queen Elizabeth, no one gave a shit about them until Meghan showed up. Let's call it like it is.
Well, not I want to say Queen Elizabeth, but I'm thinking about Diana.
Princess Diana. Princess Diana. Right, like, thank you.
Like both of them, there's a lot of similarities between them. Like Diana wasn't really of royal stock when she came in. She was, you know, more popular than the family itself or the firm itself.
Can't have that.
And you know, she caused ripples, right? In a lake that should never have ripples, right? Just by existing. And then you take Diana, and then you know, you think Black Diana isn't going to be 10 times more controversial, right? And then in Britain itself, man, Britain has some. They talk a lot of shit about American racism, which, you know, we deserve that, but, yo.
Let's not act like they are some of the originators.
Yeah, you know, let's not act like, yeah, exactly, you know, exactly where it came from, right? So, they did her dirty, man, like and Meghan Markle, she's a celebrity here, like, it's not like she isn't used to dealing with the press, but it was just a whole nother level, man. It's a whole I can't even comprehend what it would be like to live in that be part of that family. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it.
And look at Fuckboy 45. Like everyone loved him. He was super. He was like super duper famous in every community. White people loved him. Black people loved him. Spanish people loved him. Everyone loved him except for the people who actually worked with him. And then like he became president, and it's like I don't think he was prepared for the microscope he was going to be on, you know what I mean? Because you can just tell by the way he was acting, you're like, Doug, you know there's a certain way you're supposed to act when you're president, right? There's a certain level of, like, I think decorum might be the right word I'm thinking of.
I think that's a perfect word, actually, yeah.
So, I don't think he got it. So, apparently, there was a statement issued from the royal family. And it said, the whole family is saddened to learn the full extent of how challenging the last few years have been for Harry and Meghan. The statement reads, the issues raised, particularly those of race, are concerning. While some of those recollections may vary, they are taken very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately. Harry, Meghan, and Archie will always be much-loved family members, the statement concludes. And so I'm reading this, right? And then the best part about it was, at the end of it, it goes, the one thing you don't hear is an apology.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt you're going to get an apology from him. Yo, even that statement, I guarantee that statement was like 50 people read that statement. It was like, all right. There might have been an apology there somewhere, and they deleted that shit. Like, nope. The Royals do not apologize. Some shit, right? But I don't know. That's the fact that they even said anything is kind of a big deal, to be honest with you.
And then there was, I guess, what the hell is the dude's name? Sears? What the hell's the guy's name? There's a dude who walked out of the BBC. Which is always Britain.
Pierce Morgan.
No, Good Morning Britain, I think it is.
No, his name is Pierce Morgan. Fun fact, one of my bros from college is cousins with the guy that riled him up enough to have him walk off the stage.
So so apparently he stands by Good Morning Britain, Pierce Morgan leaving Good Morning Britain after storming off set his attacks on Meghan. Following discussions on ITV, Pierce has been decided to move on. Basically, he was he had no apologies for the things he has said about Meghan Markle in the past. Mm-hmm. And his co-host was, you know, digging into it. Like, you know, you said this, you know, and was it his Pierce?
Pierce Morgan.
Pierce Morgan would respond, and then his co-host would be like, no, well, what about this and what about that? And so he got pressed so bad he just got up and left and quit.
Yo, and it's crazy because Pierce Morgan is almost like a famous troll. He's like the British, remember Bill O'Reilly? That's who he.
You said it. Do you remember Bill O'Reilly?
That guy kind of disappeared, didn't he?
No, that dude's name echoes in the halls of racism forever.
Yo, that's the British version of him, man. Like, he's just the worst. And it's crazy that as soon as he gets pressed, he walks off the stage in a temper tantrum. Like, he has such a brittle spirit, man. Like you said about Shaq, yo, he's a bully. And when you smack bullies in the face, yo, they don't do anything. Because they're not really about that life at all. And like that was so telling. Like, he just stomped off. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, yo, are you serious? But you're a grown ass, rich ass white man. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, there you go right there. It's like I said, it's white male privilege. Just be able to just bounce like that. You know what I mean? He'll be fine. He'll be able to get another job. They'll give him something else cushy. What's the British version of Fox News?
I don't know, fucking the royal family.
Oh shit! All right, man. Moving on. I couldn't wait to get. I'm actually bringing this up a little early, but since we're on racial trolls, Rush Limbaugh, your man died.
Yo, a moment of silence. Oh shit! Sorry.
So I'm gonna let you take this only specifically because
I love him so much.
Yeah,
I don't have nothing to say about Rush Limbaugh.
We were talking about it, and I said that I particularly don't believe he was the person that he says he was. I believe like he was, you know, like and the way you described it to me, it was almost like, and I agree, you were like, whether he believed it or not, it takes away from all the fucked up things that he did. And like how, like, if it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be people like Tomi Lahren and the rest of the nut jobs on Fox News. You know what I mean? Like, without him, you don't get the others.
So, I don't know if you're familiar with this term, but it's been in media, politics, but the culture war, right? Like, you know, it's really the phrase that embodies what's happening in society when it comes to like polarization, the fact that Republicans hate Democrats, Democrats hate Republicans, like, right? Like, I mean, kind of, it's always kind of been like that, but, you know, it's been a little bit more complicated. But people like Rush Limbaugh in particular, I feel, are responsible for it getting as bad as it's gotten, right? Because, and not because they necessarily believe in what they're saying, they might, But what kills me is that they're doing it just to get paid. Like, they're fucking the country over, right? They're causing all this fucking chaos, mm-hmm. you know, just to get paid and get paid a lot. And they don't even care about the people listening to them. Like this dude would be, you know, hawking the craziest ass pills and supplements and shit that aren't studied by the FDA, right? Just to make a quick buck. You know, and it's just like and the things that he would say, like, they're just racist. Like the things that, you know, your slightly racist friend at work says when he's at home by himself, like, he would definitely just say that on the radio or whatever, and he'll make it seem to these people like it's okay. And if you have a problem with it, you're being a snowflake, you're being too sensitive, right? Like, it's spitting in the face of all the progress that we've made as a people, and just regressing us to a point where people end up friggin' running into the Capitol, right? Like, this shit, like, you know, I'm not a guy that, like, always talks about civil war and all this stuff. Like, I'm very familiar with what it really takes to make those things happen. But people like him are part of that equation, right? Like, if something does happen that fundamentally breaks this country, right, it's going to be people like Rush Limbaugh that are responsible. So, yo, I just want to say, fuck that guy.
Oh, yeah, fuck that guy 110%. But we were supposed to talk about it a few weeks ago, but we never got into it. Actually, more than a few weeks ago, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. What are your feelings on Azealia Banks?
Where do I begin? You think our fans are familiar with her?
I just know her as an internet bully who doesn't like being bullied.
No, she's like, you know, I don't want to say she's like Rush Limbaugh and Piers Morgan. Oh, she's not. I wouldn't say it like that.
From what you described from Piers Morgan, yeah. She seems more Piers Morgan than she does.
I don't get her, man. Like, I don't want to, like, say she's mentally unwell because I don't know her. I don't know if this is just an act, but
she stated a bunch of times that she's mentally unwell and things like that. Yeah. I don't think it would be out the realm of I don't think it would be rude of you to say something like that, because she stated that she's mentally unwell.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. I don't get her. I don't get her whole vibe, bro. Like, if she really is mentally unwell, she needs to get some help. And if not, then I don't know. She's a weirdo. Sorry. And she talks a lot of shit about a lot of people. Like, like, nobody's been kind of, you know, immune from her just trolling them. And some people she trolls, honestly, I don't really give a fuck about them either. They deserve a little trolling. But the fact that she seems that she can dish it out, but she can't take it. All I can remember is her on Wilding Out just crying because she gets roasted. I'm just like, yo, you talk so much shit about so many people, and you can't get on a show that literally advertises itself as talking shit about people, and you end up crying. Like, that's just
And that's my biggest thing about her. Like, I don't know anything about her music. I don't know anything about her number one song. I barely acknowledge she exists until she happens to pop up on, like, the news feed and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think that's what she, and that's part of the thing, probably. Like, I think she just does this just so she can stay somewhat relevant. But, yo, make some music, you know?
I don't even know what she does. Like, I don't even know what her music genre is.
I think she's a rapper.
And think about that. Like,
she's a rapper.
When your personality overtakes the music, yeah, that can be a good thing. Because then people will actually go looking for you just because... Huh. They fuck with you in terms of, like, your personality, or they're like, or your inspirational things like that.
I'm thinking Cardi B. Look at Cardi B, right?
Like, that was a perfect example of, yeah.
No, it's her everything. It's like her whole package. She definitely uses her personality to kind of, like, first, you know, woman rapper, increase her image.
First woman rapper to be certified diamond.
Woo!
So you gotta mention that there. So yeah. I bring that up because Azealia Banks gets into an NFT game with an audio sex tape.
An audio sex tape?
Yep.
Pass.
She is profitable. 24 minutes recording apparently sold for well over $17,000 or 10 Ethereum.
That's cryptocurrency. Okay. So yeah, it's like Bitcoin.
Yeah, technically speaking, the buyer, Wilton Fider, received all received full ownership, distributed and display rights, and a signed LP vinyl record.
Of her sex tape?
Audio. Not even the tape.
Audio sex tape.
Just the audio. All you're getting from her is the audio.
Yeah, I think it's that guy. The guy from the Sir Sir meme. Sir? Sir? Huh?
No, even he don't want that either.
Get me that tape.
Get me that vinyl.
Sir, Cecilia Banks, though.
No. Oh, never mind then. I'm good. Oh man!
No, I think the last thing I remember her doing was like eating her cat or some shit that.
Like,
I don't know.
Like air fried it or some shit like that.
Yeah, which is it is what it is. I think she's like into. I don't know what she's into, bro.
I mean, so one more funny one, if you want to call it that, before we get into a serious topic. Instagram model stranded in Atlanta during All-Star Weekend launches GoFundMe to get back home. The report from, what is this from? Broble? Whatever the fuck this is. I don't know. They ain't paying us. It was quite the weekend for Instagram models who made their way to Atlanta for NBA All-Star festivities being held in the surrounding areas. During All-Star Weekend, we got a group of ladies rent a 1999 U-Haul van to party around the city on the cheap. Now we're learning about another woman who claims she went to Atlanta with only $400 and started a GoFundMe to be able to get back home. She said, quote, I went to Atlanta for All-Star Weekend with $400, only booked a one-way because I was waiting on my unemployment to pay my way back, but they baited I need help surviving, making back home to New York, please anything. I can't, punctuations help people. So, she has a GoFundMe. So $13,000 to get back home from Atlanta to New York. Excuse me, $1,300. Excuse me.
Is she taking like an aircraft carrier to New York? Like, I don't know. She's taking this freaking space station back to New York? Like,
I don't know in what world does it cost $1,300 to get back anyway.
Is it $1,300 or $13,000?
$1,300. I'm sorry.
I mean, if she's doing first class.
Yeah, no. If you're just trying to get home, dog, like, yo.
We're first class.
You know. You don't need first class. Matter of fact, get on the bus. It'll suck, but get on the fucking bus. Dude, I took a bus from here to Florida with Jeff. It was a very interesting trip on a Greyhound. And let me tell you, if you've never been on a Greyhound, count your blessings, but also you missed out.
Really? Because I was just about to say, like, yeah, I would never, ever take a Greyhound from the north to the south. I'm good. I'm not trying to get surrounded by some white hoods as soon as you cross the Mason-Dixon line. I'm flying over certain states. Sorry.
I'm with you 1,000%. Like, Mississippi's on my list. Probably, like, one of the last places in the world I ever want to go. Mississippi may be second to last, and I don't even know what the last is. You know what I mean?
And that sucks, because I feel like places like Mississippi have probably some of the most solid black people there. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like some of the originals. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to, like, hear some of those stories and eat some of the food, but I don't want to take the wrong turn, bro.
Yo, that is definitely a sundown city.
I'm good.
Sundown state, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but fuck that place altogether, man. So, is she? I don't. I was gonna say something fucked up. So she's an idiot for this, right?
Yeah. I don't want to get canceled. I don't want to say what I really want to say. Just like
I had to censor myself just now.
Yo, damn, that is bad, bro. Like, I feel like she, like, you know what? I don't know. Because I know a lot of, like, if she was, like, a hippie white girl that was like, yeah, you know, I have $100 in my pocket, and I'm going to go to Thailand, right? Like, and I'm going to travel all of Asia. And then she starts up, like, this Patreon or something, and then people donate to her shit.
I'm all for
You feel
that.
me? like, she wanted to, you know, explore some NBA players. She wants to, you feel me? So, I don't know.
If any of you NBA players risk COVID for sex, y'all are bugging.
But you know they're doing it.
Of course they are. Man, I don't fully understand it, but let me tell you. It happened. I don't particularly understand it, but who am I?
I don't know. It's just weird. Sometimes I don't even know if stuff like this is actually really happening. But then I'm like, man, I know my people. I know my people, man.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about humans, not just black folk. I'm talking like, we do some stupid shit.
You know what's funny about this? Is I know was whatever year, I'm not sure if it was last year or the year before. I think it was last year, but like when listening to Joe Budden, they were like, whenever the Super Bowl was in town, I think it was in Atlanta. It doesn't matter. But a bunch of strippers went left from their home states, like all the really big ones. Actually, probably a bunch of them probably did. Left to go to whatever city the Super Bowl was in to rack up. Problem was, the clubs were taking a bigger cut. Which, look, that's fucked up.
The Stripper Bowl, right? That's what it was, right?
Was it the Stripper Bowl?
I think it was the Stripper Bowl, and they ended up not making, like, any money. A lot of them weren't making, like, any money, bro.
Yeah, like the club owners, like, fleeced them something hard, and that was
fucked up. Yeah, that's fucked up.
It was, like, and it was, for a lot of them, I know at least one of them said that they were better off just staying, considering the money they spent to get down there and back. Like, it wasn't even, like, worth the trip.
But at least for them, I think there's a difference between them and this young lady. Like, they went to work, you know what I mean? Went there to, like, you know what I mean? Like, with the anticipation to make a lot of money, to hustle, you know? I don't know.
Maybe she went down there trying to get some hustle, and...
Yeah. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Because the NBA players are in a bubble. She couldn't burst the bubble.
Those niggas were not in a bubble, man.
Yeah, but you know... You know, instead of having like 20 groupies, they could probably only have like 10 now. You know what I mean?
Did you hear? I forget if it was an NFL player or if it was an NBA player in their rookie season, and they ended up losing the contract because they brought a girl into their hotel.
I remember that, but that was early on. That was like when everybody, like, I think most players were kind of following protocol, like, because even when certain players didn't follow protocol, they got called out by their own, like, teammates, you know what I mean? So that was a dumb move to begin with, right? But I think now it's kind of, you know, people are starting to get vaccinated, people are starting to get a little loose. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not get too loose out here, people.
Hey, man. Yo, it's human nature, man. It is what it is.
Fucking, like, Kyrie Irving last year, like, I'm not playing because I don't want to risk COVID. And then this nigga, I think it was December, or maybe January, he was caught, like, out somewhere in a large group with no mask on. I'm like, so last year when you said you're not doing it because you're worried about COVID.
Yeah.
But now, you're around a bunch of people, no mask on.
It is what it is, man. I know I'm vaccinated. I know a lot of people I'm close to are vaccinated.
I'm vaccinated.
So, you know, I'll just hang out with y'all.
Let me tell you. As soon as I got the, I got a story for you, I'll tell you off air. But as soon as I got the opportunity, I was like, sign me up. Immediately.
Yeah.
All right. So, for the people who actually listen to the show, you may have noticed that it's been a long time. It's been a few weeks since I put out an episode. Part of it was because I had this, oh man, I was beyond pissed off when this happened. I had 2 or 3 episodes in my garage band for times like this when I was just, like, you know, really dealing with depression hard or getting, I was just too busy. And then, like, the idea of trying to work out time to record with anybody, let alone my co-host, when you're working overnight is super difficult, especially if you work a hospital schedule where you know, some weekends on, some weekends off. You know what I mean? So you don't really have a lot of consistent days. Me and Super Woke are lucky that we end up having the same weekends off and usually the same days, if not the same nights. So it works out great for us.
I stalk you, so I planned it that way.
It's funny because they tried to change my weekends. I was like, no. That's not happening. So that was, I think, like step one, like losing so much audio. I got to interview this retired wrestler that Duke set me up with, and I lost that audio in the middle of like trying to like, because it's really heavy Southern draw, so a lot of it was really difficult to decipher. So I was like kind of like going back and forth. I lost that. I lost an episode with Steve Van Sampson. We were talking about his book. I'm going to bring up the name of that right now. The name of the book is Mark of the Witchworm. Witchworm is spelled W-I-T-C-H-W-Y-R-M. And he did we did about 30 to 45 minutes on his book. And it sounded amazing, and I lost that. An episode I did that I actually redid with Valkyrie, but we also included the Britney Spears doc, which was phenomenal. And it was like I lost so much shit. And then some like CCB, I think about it now, some CCBNs that we never put out that I was just like kind of saving for a rainy day. So that was step one. And then like anxiety started setting in because I'm starting a new part of my job. It's not necessarily a raise. What's the fab line? What you think is an upgrade? Really just a seat change?
Yep.
It's not, but it's a seat change that when they were offering it to everybody, I said, I'll take it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, something else to put on my resume, you know, and plus, why not? You know what I mean? It's not really adding anything extra to my day, except now I'm just doing something else. Then like therapy, like the funny thing about therapy is, as great as it is, it's also a curse if you're not ready to receive a lot of information. So one of the things me and my therapist talked about when I was ready to cut off friends because of the way I felt and just kind of feeling like I didn't fit in. It's like you have all these people here who are like either college graduates or currently in college and talking about all these like sophisticated things, science and politics. And meanwhile, I'm like, did you know Wolverine has 6 1-foot claws that pop out of his fist?
So that's important information, old man.
So
that's crucial.
Talking to my therapist about this, and mind you, no one's ever made me feel this way, but it's just how my mind perceives it. So he akened it to imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is loosely defined as doubting your abilities and feeling like a fraud. It's disproportionately affected by high-achieving people who find it difficult to accept their accomplishments. Many question whether they are deserving of accolades. So, I was, on one hand, I was really happy that I got, you know, I kind of got a glimpse into, like, things that was going on in my life and so on and so forth. But again, the curse about it is, you know, now that you know what's going on, you kind of have to deal with it. So, that was it. So, then there was just, like, these random other things that was making me anxious. So, then I wasn't sleeping well. I don't sleep well, and anybody here who has depression and anxiety, you know, if you don't sleep well, that depression and that anxiety is amplified by 1,000 because your brain, your body's not getting its proper rest. You know what I mean? And then it's like not eating comfort food. And for the record, comfort food never really works. Like it feels good for a second, but then like when you're dieting, you end up feeling like shit 2 seconds later because you're looking down at this like mess of amazing food that didn't even really make you feel any better.
Yo, and at our age, comfort food turns into discomfort.
Oh yeah.
Very quickly, as soon as you wake up in the morning.
Oh yeah.
It fucking sucks.
So, thankfully, I haven't been. Thankfully, before the big spiral, me and my wife have a thing where she was like, if I'm drinking too much, she lets me know. So while I don't drink every day, I drink on my days off. So for me, that's maybe 3 times every 2 weeks. Now, to some people, that may not sound like a lot, but it is sort of kind of to me when, and my wife, when I'm not necessarily drinking and being social, when I'm literally just drinking and playing video games, you know what I mean? So that was something else, and that wasn't really helping. So I cut down on the alcohol. People, if you're on a diet, that makes you frustrated because while you want a steak and cheese sub and fries, you're looking down at your baked chicken, broccoli, and your sweet potato. You know what I mean? I haven't had, the only soda I've had in the last 3 months is ginger ale. I haven't had a Mountain Dew, a Coke, or anything in about 3 months.
And I'm pretty sure I didn't help by bringing in a couple of big ass slices of cheesecake the other day.
Oh, actually, no, see, in situations like that, sometimes, like, I really get that, like the cheesecake was a nice surprise, especially, like, when I haven't had any pastries in a while, and that was a special cheese, that was a Texas cheesecake, that was probably the best cheesecake I've ever had in my damn life.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So, that's a little different. So, there's some other stuff going on that I'm not going to mention on air, because none of your fucking business. Well, not really. Then with the anxiety, it comes not feeling good about yourself. Like, and I know people are going like, well, that's kind of what depression anxiety is. But, like, it starts to affect you in times of, like, you know, wanting to get it on. Like, you know what I mean? Because then you start feeling like, is it going to be good enough? Am I ready? How do I look with my shirt off? So, like, all these things start. And my wife never complained. So, you know what I mean? And I know, you know what I mean? And she, trust me, she wouldn't have married me if she had complaints in that area. So all this stuff kind of leads to me just, and this was the kicker. So one day I do the one thing I tell myself I'm never going to do. Do not look at your numbers. Those numbers are fucking skewed. They never actually represent what really goes on. And I've listened to Super Woke said this. My wife said it. Joe Budden laments about the difference between a listen, a half listen, a stream, a download. You never really get the full amount of listens. And then on top of that, even someone like me, like, people will just find my show, download it, and then put it on their website. Those downloads and listens don't count to what it goes on. How do I know if Podbean's giving me the right downloads? Like, I have people tell me to listen to the show, and then I'm like, yeah, bullshit. And then they'll say something. I'm like, oh, shit, you actually did listen. Where the fuck is my download then? You know what I mean?
But yo, I have people at work. I don't know how it happened. But, oh, you do a podcast? Like, people are definitely listening to this show, bro.
And I think we got some international listeners. A shout out to y'all. So,
for real.
So then I ended up just saying, fuck it. And I quit. I was like, I quit, and I just didn't tell anybody. Put one more episode out, and I was like, I'm done. Next week comes around. Javi hits me up. Like, oh, you want to record? I'm like, yeah, I'll get right on. Yeah, let's do that. And I just ignored text. It was like, yo, I fell asleep. You know what I mean?
I've been there. And you know me, I'm not going to judge you off of that shit, bro, at all.
So then I'm sitting down. Actually, no, I'm not sitting down. I'm laying down in bed. And I send Javi this text about how, like, I'm done. I quit. That's it. I tried. I failed. You got your own thing going on. And I don't want to be, I don't want to hold you back from this. And I'm just completely in my feelings. And I'm in, there were days the last couple of weeks I've just been in bed crying for no fucking reason. It was bad. So the next day, Javi being a person that he is, because he actually gives a shit about me as a person, I don't answer. And I get up, and my wife's like, so Javi texts me. I go, did he tell you what
about? Yeah, I'm a snitch, nigga.
and she was just like, I was like, did he tell you what about? He goes, yep. It's like, all right. So, and she wasn't even mad at me. Well, she was mad at me to quit. So there was that. But she was also mentioned how inconsiderate it was of, like, just kind of dropping that bomb on you without, like, you know, without a conversation. And it was wrong. And it's like, and so in my mind, I'm thinking, why the fuck should Javi care? It's my show. He's got his own thing. But that's my irrational brain. My irrational brain is thinking this. Talking to my wife, and she really broke it down. She goes, yeah, it's your show. But she was like, how many hours did Javi put into the show? And she was like, not just recording. She was like, driving back and forth. The days you guys would sit on the phone and talk about the plan going forward, setting up the website, paying for the website, paying to have things promoted, and all the other random and tangible things that people don't know go into putting on a show. Even if the show doesn't make any money, like, that's another thing. Like, there's, if this is going to be done for funsies forever, there's still a lot, it's still, you know, it's exhausting. Trying not to remember to say, every 2 seconds, or like, these are things that, like, you know, they drain you mentally. And I forgot, like, you know what I mean? Again, in my inconsiderate, depressed, anxiety-riddled mind, I was like, oh shit, like, that's true. So, Javi, being the real person that he was completely blunt about, like, how he felt. Like, yo, this should have been a conversation we should have had over the phone. He goes, so what about this? What about that? And this, again, I'm getting these text messages, like, after I wake up. And rightfully so. Like, I'm like, when you're cool with somebody long enough, you can tell when someone's hurt even through text messages. And I was like, I fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? Because if I would have had this conversation with you, like, on the phone, I probably wouldn't even have quit. I probably would have picked up the laptop instead of recording and having this conversation earlier. You know, like, just to be transparent and, like, in content, so on and so forth. Like, I left the podcast group because I was, like I said, in my feelings, I was like, well, you know, I still support the people that are in the group, but I just bounced. I was like, their shares and retweets aren't helping me, so I'm out. What's the point of me going over there and, like, doing stuff? But it's funny the things that got me back into it. Beyond the obvious of, like, my family, and when I say my family, I don't mean my relatives. I mean my family. Maria, Lavelle, Javi. I think those are the only three people. Oh, Charmaine, Stephanie, the rest of the podcast play, because they were like, what do you mean you're quitting? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what's going on, da-da-da. Like, they actually give a shit. But the funny thing that actually really, again, in my petty-ass mind, the thing that really got me back into this was realizing that, like, my friends, people can't see quotations on audio, who I've, like, gone out of my way to go to their stuff, spent money on their projects, made it a point to, you know, share it, and just been an overall great supporter of the things they do. And so I was like, so I started going through some friends, like, social media. I'm like, huh, not a fucking share, huh? Okay. Oh, not a mention, not a shout out, not a near nada. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what? Now I'm doing this particularly to spite you.
Well, that's a great motivation.
It's part of the reason why. It's part of the reason why, but a lot of it had to do with the people who actually care, reminding me that, like, you know, it's, if you're gonna make this decision, make it because it's something you wanna do, not because you're feeling a certain way. Like, even my therapist was like, it seems like it's something that, like, it's a way I can get my voice out. Where I normally can't, because I can't have these conversations just rant regularly. And even when I started, when we were recording these on episodes last year, I'm not necessarily a marcher, you know what I mean? But I will be the first person to use my platform and, like, reach a couple people. And I've had some people who've listened to the show and said, I never thought about this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Valkyrie came on and was really breaking down what it was like to be a woman of color in this situation. Manda's come on and spoken about what it's like in her on her side of things. Your wife has. your wife has, you come on here and talked about the idea of, what was the dumb thing they said? You're not really black because you're neither one of the countries you were from ever really dealt with slavery, which is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard somebody say. I was going to say long story short, but this story has been going on for about 20 minutes. Anxiety is a motherfucker. And it's easy when the cliche thing is like, you know, it's like, oh, things will get better and tomorrow's another day and, you know, the sun comes out tomorrow and don't lay a finger on my butterfinger. You know what I mean? Like, those are really cliche things to say. And they may work for some people. They don't really work for everybody, though. You know what I mean? So people saying, like, you know, just keep on going. It's like, yeah, that doesn't do shit for me. You know what I mean? So I say all that to say this. Find your motivation. Find the way. Find what you can do to kind of, like, keep yourself going, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Whether it be vengeance, whether it be your parents being shot in an alleyway, and now you're putting on a bat costume. You know what I mean? Did your parents send you from a planet and they landed somewhere with a yellow sun that gives you powers? Whatever it be, man. Like, because this last month and a half has been probably the biggest roller coaster of emotions I've had in about a year. And it's funny when you don't realize how much something as simple as going to dinner can change how you feel when you've been cooped up in the house for a while, or just seeing friends, even when they're late, and you tell them that they're a dog's gonna knock all their stuff over, and they don't listen to you.
I never listen to you, old man. Hey, can I just say this though?
I was asking to give the floor to you now.
No, I don't really have much to say, though. I think you killed it, bro. Like, you know, that was just a real big moment of honesty, man. Like, I think that's a big reason why I would hate to see you stop doing the show. Like, you know, I don't do this shit for money. I just like doing it, you know? You give me an opportunity to talk a lot of shit, which is awesome. And I thank you for that. And thank you for that trust that you put you put in me for this, you know? I would say this, though. Like, if we never do another show, man, you know for a fact that we're still going to be, you know, friends, man, brothers. So, and I hope that came across these past couple of days, man.
Absolutely.
You know, I just want you to be right, you know?
Yeah. And there's some other stuff that we can talk about off air. But I also want to announce that there will be more podcasts coming from, I haven't decided what I'm calling the network yet, but we've got some more content coming. Super Woke's going to be doing the Know Your Geek, which is going to be fucking great.
In a video series.
Which I can't fucking wait to see. The host of Pandagasms, Panda, said she's going to do some stuff with me that we can kind of like have discussions from, like, you know, the women's perspective of things. Miss Telekinesis is going to be doing some stuff as well. So there will be more content coming, which I cannot fucking wait. Super Bowl's going to be doing video. I'm pretty sure he's gonna cut this clip cut this clip all up. You can actually do the whole thing that the old conversation we just did. But any final thoughts?
Man, just, you know, find good people, man, and do good things with them. That's about it.
I like that, man. Say it one more time.
So find good people and do good things with them.
I love that, man. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. Don't forget to visit oldmanwade.com. Don't forget to visit the Old Man Wade Show on Facebook. Don't forget to visit Let Shit Record, even though Let Shit Record on Twitter, even though he never uses it. I think I saw a sighting of him using it once in the last couple of weeks, but I'm not sure. You can find me at oldmanwade.com on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to check Black Rabbit.
BlackRabbit.com.
BlackRabbit.com. Don't forget to listen to the Culture Comic Book News podcast. We've been on hiatus the last few weeks. You know, there's some stuff going on in all of our personal lives, so that's been put on hold, but there will be more stuff coming in within the next couple of weeks, including a new logo by Jet Setta on Instagram. He did the logo of me and Super Woke as the guys from Outkast. Big Boy and Andre 3000.
I love that logo.
Oh, yeah. It's super fucking dope, man. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Thank you for everybody who cares. Thank you for everyone just being a positive influence in somebody's life. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to... You know when someone goes, well, what did you do for somebody today? If you weren't an asshole to somebody, you did something for somebody today.
Yeah. And if you can't help being an asshole, just stay in your damn house.
Damn it, Wade!